Throughout the centuries that elapsed after the death of Joseph, the people of Israel became very numerous in Egypt. Jacob's descendants, who had settled in a fertile part of the country, multiplied and became powerful. They lived in the province of Goshen, an immense border area in the Nile Delta. This part of the country was rich in pasture lands and was suitable for the breeding of livestock, the Israelites' main occupation. It was here that the Pharaoh of Joseph's time had settled Jacob's family, which then numbered 70 people, without counting the wives and many servants. But after a stay of more than 400 years in Egypt, the Israelite population, under God's blessing, had risen to about 2 million. So two different races, the Israelites and the Egyptians, lived side by side. Several centuries before this, God had told Abraham, Israel's forefather, that his descendants would live for 400 years in a country that did not belong to them, and that they would be in bondage. Many years later, when Joseph was governor of Egypt, during and after the 7-year famine, the Egyptians welcomed the family of the man who had saved them from starvation. There followed the reigns of several pharaohs, until a king who knew nothing about Joseph came to power in Egypt. He saw that a foreign nation was living in the best part of the country, near the border, and he was displeased. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become much too powerful for us, and if war breaks out, they could join our enemies and fight against us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them." So they put taskmasters over the people of Israel to oppress them with forced labor. And the Israelites built Pithom and Raamses as store cities for Pharaoh. The Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard labor, forcing them to build and to do all kinds of work in the fields. But the more the Israelites were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. Then Pharaoh thought of another way of preventing the Hebrews from increasing in number. He ordered the Hebrew midwives to kill all the newborn boys, but to let the girls live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not obey the king of Egypt. They let the boys live. Pharaoh summoned the midwives to ask them why they had disobeyed him. They replied, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before we arrive." God blessed the midwives because they feared him, and the people of Israel continued to increase in number. So then Pharaoh ordered the Egyptians to throw every newborn boy into the Nile and to let the girls live. Now a man of the house of Levi, called Amram, had married a Levite woman named Jochebed. She was with child and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine, healthy boy, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she took a basket of bulrushes and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. The baby's sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to the child. That day Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, while her attendants walked along the river bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant girl to get it. Opening it, she saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then the child's sister went to Pharaoh's daughter and said, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went to get the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So Jochebed took her baby home and nursed him. Next episode, Moses flees to Midian.